This morning we want to continue along our series, Slaying the Giant, the Quest for Godly Character. And we're on our second path right now, and we looked at first the path. Sorry about that. The path from pride to courage, and we looked at humility and integrity and how that works together. And then right now we're looking at the path from foolishness to wisdom, and today we'll finish that path as we talk about wisdom and what wisdom is and what godly wisdom looks like as opposed to worldly wisdom. And as you see in your notes, we have seven words that will help us find wisdom. Wisdom is one of those things that everyone wants, but I'm not sure everyone wants to go through the process of getting. When we think of wisdom, it's about finding God's truth and applying it to life in a way that is pleasing to God and brings glory to God. It's not just about a way to get rich. It's not just about a way to have a successful life, but applying God's truth to life in a way that brings glory to God. As we've looked through the path from foolishness, the answer is faithfulness. Doing those little things that we know are right, even if we don't feel like doing them. Getting past our emotions, getting past our feelings, and saying, I will do what is right because it is right. Because God is faithful all of the time, I will be faithful all of the time. And then we looked at perseverance, where in the midst of outside pressures that come in, which right now there are so many outside pressures that are challenging us and that are fighting to break our faithfulness and tear us away from a walk close to God, perseverance stays firm. So perseverance is faithfulness over a period of time. And then last week, Fred did a wonderful job of giving a couple of examples of perseverance. As you looked at Joseph in the Old Testament and then Polycarp, great men who persevered through incredible trial, through incredible odds that were against them and outside pressure to stay with God. And today we come to wisdom. Because wisdom is the result of perseverance and faithfulness over time. It is a result of a life that is dedicated to God, that is consistently dedicated to God. So many times in the title you see hindsight is 20/20. Do you feel that way sometimes? Do you ever get in a situation where you're like, oh, if only I knew now what I knew then? Anyone? Yeah, absolutely. I remember one college camping trip. A number of years back that we were coming in 395 and we had left the 14, and there's just not a lot there before Kramer's Junction, if you're familiar with that road. And one of the cars was towing a trailer with a dune buggy, and we looked at the gas. We thought, oh, this is easy. We can make this. And so we didn't stop for gas. And we drove, and it's only 60 miles about, so it's not that far. And it's amazing, though, when you're towing something up a hill. It's just like, empty the gas tank and let it pour out on the ground. Because the needle just... And about 2 miles outside of Kramer's Junction, that particular car stopped and was out of gas. Just before the mirror things, those that were on the college camping trip last weekend. And I remember sitting there thinking, if I knew now, or if I knew then, sorry, get that right, what I know now, I probably would have stopped for gas. And hindsight is like that. And gas is sort of a familiar theme in my life because it's all about trying to get that last drop. And even this last trip, we had to stop a little early. But it's about learning from those things and moving on. See, we have a tendency, we can easily beat ourselves up over hindsight, and we can say, oh man, I am so foolish. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I think of that? But that doesn't accomplish anything. So yeah, hindsight is 20/20, but it's 20/20 for a reason to move forward. And this morning, as we talk about wisdom, we want to talk about moving forward in that way. In James chapter 1, we see the path that we're on, wisdom, from foolishness to faithfulness to perseverance to wisdom. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And in case we don't know what he means by mature and complete, verse 5 answers that. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So as we start this discussion, we need to understand what wisdom is. And I gave you that definition as wisdom is applying God's truth to life for his glory. But so many times we are in a culture where wisdom means something else, doesn't it? Wisdom may mean money and accumulating a certain amount of money or a certain amount of things. We consider those people wise. Being shrewd with certain affairs. And there is an element of wisdom there, but that's not the wisdom that God's Word is challenging us to have. God's Word is challenging us to have a wisdom that comes from being able to faithfully apply God's Word to life. And it has to be consistent over time. We get confused about that. There's one story that's told, a joke that's told about a dean at a university, and an angel appears to him in a faculty meeting. There's humor there even. And tells the dean that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will reward him with his choice of infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty. Without hesitating, the dean selects wisdom. Done, says the angel, and disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning. It's a story. Now all heads turn toward the dean, who sits surrounded by a faint halo of light. At length, one of his colleagues says, "Say something." And the dean says, "I should have taken the money." Is that wisdom? That might be a worldly view of wisdom, but that is not a godly view of wisdom. When we look at a godly view of wisdom, it's about not just doing things well, but doing things for the glory of God. We sometimes confuse knowledge with wisdom. And intellect is an accumulation of knowledge, but wisdom is an accumulation of experience. Very different things. And as we look at this, as we look at through God's Word, wisdom is mentioned over and over and over. Over 400 verses just on wisdom. In Proverbs alone, which we'll be spending some time in this morning, as you probably could guess, in Proverbs alone, over 50 verses talk about how to have wisdom or seeking wisdom or craving wisdom. It's one of the topics that is just beaten into our heads in God's Word because it is so important. In James chapter 3, verse 13, we read, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." And in this passage, as we seek to define wisdom, it's a comparison between an earthly wisdom, which is all about me, which is all about ambition and what can I get, and it's contrasted with living a life that is godly, that is pleasing to God. Even if that means making decisions that just don't make as much, even if that means making decisions that the world considers foolish, God considers it wise. And I'm going to go with God's view. Wisdom, insight, understanding, the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. That's what we're after this morning. As you look through the verses in wisdom and God's Word, there's several themes that come out. And this morning we're going to look at 7 of them. And we'll move through them pretty quickly. I've put some verses in your notes that you can study a little bit more on your own, but I would encourage even using a concordance and looking up words, verses on wisdom and more verses, because there are just so many things that God's Word has to say. But if we're going to build wisdom, if we're going to seek the kind of wisdom that God wants, the first word that we have to keep in mind is awe. Awe. Or fear. Without an awe of God, without a fear of the Lord, there can be no wisdom. Because there is no foundation for wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. And you'll just want to keep your Bibles open to Proverbs, and we'll look through a variety of different verses in Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 15. We'll look at verse 33. And in Proverbs, as you know, it's a collection of Proverbs, obvious statement of the morning. And so we'll look at different single verses, because in chapters 11 through 31, it's a collection of Proverbs where each verse might be on a different topic. And so we'll just grab verses that have to do with wisdom and how to gain wisdom and how to be wise. In Proverbs 15:33, we read, "The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor." The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And out of that verse, we actually have our first two words that we're going to talk about. But awe is the first word, a fear of the Lord. And this is so much more than just being afraid that He's going to whack us if we do something wrong. Now there is an element of that we should be concerned if we disobey God, that He will discipline us. But the word here is more the idea of awe. Of being so blown away by who God is and His wisdom that we can't even focus on anything else. When was the last time that you had that image of God? That you spent some time dwelling on who God is to the point that you just can't even comprehend it. Sort of like if you try to comprehend infinity. Your brain just sort of explodes after a while. But that's what it should be when we think about God. It's that kind of awe. It's a respect. A fear of the Lord, because we cannot understand Him. He is so great and so magnificent. And when it comes to wisdom, His wisdom so far surpasses us that we don't even have an ounce of comprehension of what His wisdom would be like. An illustration might be like if you were standing on a sidewalk of a street and you saw an ant starting to cross the street. And you decided for some reason that your goal in life was to save that ant's life. And you get down and you tell the ant, "Don't cross the street." And it keeps walking. "Don't cross the street." And it keeps walking. And so finally you pick it up and you move it and it's saved. And you're wondering why that ant doesn't get your wisdom. Picture that with God and us. Because God's wisdom so far even surpasses that example. We're the ants where our wisdom is earthly. It is natural, as God's word describes it. And it's minute. And God's wisdom is vast and huge. And if we're to seek wisdom, we have to start with the foundation. We have to start with being in awe of who God is. The character of God, the very character of God, exudes wisdom. Let me read a couple verses to you. Job chapter 9, verse 4. "His wisdom," being God's wisdom, "is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted Him and come out unscathed?" Words like profound and vast are used. In Job 38, "Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of heaven?" As God is reminding Job, you can't do any of this. Your wisdom is like this. My wisdom is like this. And this is one of those concepts we know. We know in our head, but there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And so do we just know it in our head as an academic exercise, or do we understand it and let it impact us as God intended? Psalm 104:24, how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Isaiah 28:29, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. Very creation shows God's wisdom, which is why culture is so bent on evolution, because if they can prove evolution or if they can teach evolution, they can steer people away from the wisdom of God, the awe of God, which is the foundation of all wisdom that we can have. And they can tear us apart, and they can tear culture apart. Very creation shows God's wisdom. Last week, we had the privilege of being out with the college group at their camp out. And one of the nights, we just stood out about midnight under the stars and turned off all our lights. And I'm here to tell you there are still stars. There's more than three. It's amazing. And we forget that living where we live, and we forget the magnificence and the grandeur of God, which shows His wisdom. Because you know, that whole time as we were watching them, we didn't see any collide. We didn't see any massive supernovas. We didn't see any explosions, because God has ordered them on their track. And He has set them into motion that could not have happened by chance. Be in awe of God. Be in awe of His wisdom. Realize who He is. Turn over to Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, this awe for God, the same phrase is used over and over and over again. And you just get to a point where, like, okay, I get it. But when it's used like that over and over in Scripture, that means it's important and God is trying to get it through our heads. But in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Different verse, same words. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. In Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Are you seeing the pattern? We need to be thinking about God's wisdom, reflecting on that, meditating on who He is. As it mentioned in the Psalm 111, verse 10, verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. And part of fearing the Lord is following His precepts. It's obedience. It's faithfulness. Because that brings wisdom. Psalm 19:7 is a verse to cling to. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Because if we understand how vast God's wisdom is, we are all simple, aren't we? We are all simple. And His Word says, obeying my precepts, my statutes, make wise the simple. Because what He's done is in His law and His instruction to us in His Word, He has taken His wisdom, the wisdom of God Almighty that created the universe, and put it in words for us, put it in principles for us. And so by following His principles and His Word, we are following the wisdom of the Creator of the universe. Do you see the connection? It's not just a set of rules. It's wisdom. It's a how-to book for how to live a life of wisdom. Awe. We need to be blown away by God. Fear the Lord, and that is the beginning of wisdom. Second word, if we're to gain wisdom, if we're to understand wisdom, is need. Need. You could put humility right next to it. See, it's one thing to understand the greatness of God, and these two go hand in hand, because I believe if we truly are blown away by God and understand His greatness, then we can't help but understand our need. But for some reason, there's this disconnect. We can come on Sunday and we can worship God and we can sing about who He is. We can go to the mountains. But when it comes to our own lives, do we get to a point where we know that we are in desperate need of God's wisdom? See, the first word is about the greatness of God. The second word is about the minuteness of our own wisdom. And to gain wisdom, we have to come to that point. The same verse that we started the first point with, the awe of God, Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And there's a comparison of the two. As Proverbs, you usually have a contrast or a comparison. And this is a Proverbs of comparison. And so he's comparing the fear of the Lord bringing wisdom and humility coming before honor. We have to realize how small we are and how much we need God. How much we need His wisdom. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Did you catch the second half of that? With humility comes wisdom. So God's word links the two. God says, you want wisdom? Start with humility. You cannot get to wisdom without humility, because without humility, you don't think you need wisdom. Because we think we have it all together. We have to be convinced of our need. Wisdom will not come when we are wise in our own eyes. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 26, verse 12 is a little direct. I would turn there and maybe underline that. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. There is more hope for a fool than for him. 1 Corinthians 1:25, we read in worship this morning, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Do we see a need for God's wisdom? Yesterday, Mark played in his first baseball game. Proud dad moment. It was amazing. And they're all 4- and 5-year-olds. And one of the things that I discovered yesterday is that 4- and 5-year-olds don't have a lot of baseball wisdom yet. And it just was, we were rolling on the ground just watching them. And at one point I was out helping, coaching one of the bases, and Mark was out running the bases, and he got to second, but the runner on second forgot to run. And so the two of them are just playing on second and having a good old time. And we're all yelling, run to third, run to third. And they don't even hear. So I finally ran out to second base and put my arm around the other little boy and said, you're coming this way. And we went to third together. But they needed help. One of the coaches said, man, I wish we had one coach for every child. It was like that. It was great. But it took me coming alongside to that little boy and bringing him along to third base, because he didn't know. If only we could come to God with that kind of humility. I don't know, God. I don't even know where third base is. I don't even know what I should do next. I need your wisdom. And that's what Proverbs over and over means when it says humility is the foundation for wisdom. J.I. Packer said this in his book, Knowing God. Not till we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, not till all that happens can divine wisdom become ours. Because until we get to a place of absolute need, God will not force it on us. And that's what opens the door to allowing God to work. When we think of wisdom, we think of something that is a lifelong pursuit. And whether you're sitting here in junior high, whether you're sitting here in retirement, we all have this much wisdom compared to God's. And we all need to open ourselves up in humility and beg God for wisdom. When I think of those men and women that are wise, that I love to hear their counsel, not one of them thinks they have it down. Not one of them thinks they have it all together and they have mastered God's wisdom. Because those people I don't go to. But it's the humble that are still asking God, impress me with your wisdom. Do we see a need? Do we see a need? Are we willing to ask God? James 1:5, a verse I read at the beginning. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. And so when we understand our need in humility, we will come to God and we will ask. And I know that that's hard sometimes, especially for us men. When was the last time we stopped and asked for directions? Or you're in a store and you don't know where something is. And our wives are saying, just ask someone. And I'm thinking, I'm on a mission. I'm on a quest. I will find this. And if I ask someone, that's a sign of weakness. I will find this on my own. But wisdom isn't about that. Can we come and ask God and say, I am small and I need your wisdom? Because he's promised at that point he will give it. To put this into practice this week, as you go into any situation, as you go into any discussion, as you go into any family time, as you go to work, as you go to take care of your kids, come to God each day, each moment of the day, and say just a small prayer. Lord God, I don't have wisdom for this. I need your wisdom. Lord God, I don't have wisdom for this. I need your wisdom. Even if it's something you've done 2,000 times, it's the attitude that God is looking for. I don't have wisdom for this. I need your wisdom. Awe and need. The third word is thirst. Thirst. Very similar to need, but just going a step beyond that. These first ones build on each other. Thirst. Do we seek wisdom? Do we crave it? Do we search for it? Do we hunt it down? Are we desperate for it? Turn with me to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, verse 3. Proverbs 2, verse 3. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Someone earlier in the service prayed that we would cry for wisdom. Cry for understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Seek it. Search it out like you would treasure. If someone was to say, you know, there's $1 million somewhere on campus, first one that finds it gets it. I would bet that after the service was over, there would be some seeking. Probably before. and that's all we would think about. It would consume us. We would be trying to find that. And that's the imagery that God's Word uses that we should have for wisdom. A quest for it, a seeking, a thirst for it. Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. So many more verses about it. I think I put some in your notes. But wisdom is worth it. In Proverbs 3, next chapter, verse 13, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." Nothing you desire can compare with her. How many other pursuits in life steer us away from wisdom, from craving wisdom? We have so many things that take our time, so many things that take our interest, and most of them lead to foolishness. Are we on the path to wisdom? A proud young man once came to Socrates asking for wisdom. He walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for wisdom." Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one, and he led the young man through the streets to the sea, chest deep in water. Then he asked, "What do you want?" "Wisdom, oh great Socrates," said the young man with a smile. Socrates put his strong arms on the man's shoulder and pushed him under the water. Held him there for about 20 seconds. He was appropriately surprised, came up sputtering and gasping for air, and Socrates once again says, "What is it you want?" He said, "Understanding, oh great Socrates." And so Socrates put his hands on his shoulders again and pushed him under, this time for 30 seconds. And he comes up sputtering, "What is it you want?" "Wisdom, wisdom, I don't understand." And he pushes him under again for about 50 seconds this time. And when he sensed that he was reaching his limit, he pulls him out and he's gasping for air. And Socrates once again says, "What is it you want?" And the young man said, "Air. I just want air." And Socrates says, "When you crave wisdom as much as you crave air right now, then you are ready." If you want wisdom as much as you wanted air, then you will have wisdom. Do we seek wisdom? Do we crave it? Does it consume us? Is it a treasure? Is there a thirst for it? Awe, need, thirst. Fourth word for wisdom, experience. Experience. Wisdom comes from experience. One author wrote, "Good decisions come from experience, and experience comes from bad decisions." And that's sort of the path that it can happen. And that's where we get to hindsight as 2020, is as we go through these experiences, are there things that we can learn that will gain wisdom? Whenever anything would happen when I was young, Mom would always say, "What can you learn from this? What can you learn from this?" It would be so frustrating sometimes. But it was about learning wisdom. It was about learning from experience. But the thing about experience, it doesn't have to be yours. Follow me on this. You can learn from someone else's experience. Now, sometimes we get so stubborn in our heads that we have to learn from our own experience, and we have to make the mistakes, and we have to learn the hard way. You've heard that phrase. But God, in His Word, says you can learn from wisdom. You can learn from others. You can borrow other people's experience and gain wisdom without having to go through the same things. A wise man learns by the experience of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience. A fool learns by nobody's experience. And we see this throughout Proverbs as it's talking about seeking wisdom, but God's Word is the experience of God. It is the wisdom of God that He asks us to learn from and not just beat our heads against it and do things our own way because we think that's the only way for wisdom. Turn to Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And it's about who are you with? What companions do you have? Whose experience are you borrowing? If you hang out with foolish people, you're going to borrow foolish experience. But if we seek out wise counsel, we will learn from someone else's experience. Proverbs 15:12 says, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. He won't go borrow someone else's experience. He won't listen. And if we think of experience, it's not just learning from what we've gone through, but it's about listening and following wise counsel. Not just listening to it, but following it as well. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to skip a lot of the verses, but I want to get Proverbs 1, verse 20 here. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Talks about seeking wisdom, listening to wisdom, following counsel. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, if you had listened, if you had borrowed my experience, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, in turn I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. In that passage, we see a stern warning against not listening, against not heeding counsel. And you can see how these build, because when we sense our need, when we come in humility, needing wisdom, when we understand who God is, then we are ready. And when we thirst for wisdom, then we are ready to listen, to heed counsel. Verse after verse in Proverbs, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Pride only brings quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Just think about where you're coming from. Think about times that people have given you advice. Do your defenses go up? Do you fight and try to go the other way? Do you try to argue them out of their advice, which is the way of the fool? Or do you listen? Evaluate it to God's word and heed it. Doesn't mean we just follow what everyone says. There's that evaluation process. Is this godly wisdom? But so many times we get this sense that I have to find it on my own. I can't borrow someone else's experience because somehow I would be lower for doing that. But that's the exact attitude that breeds wisdom. The lower, that I am lower, that I need that. Proverbs 1:7, one of our key verses that we've used several times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But catch the second part. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Who do you listen to? It's going to be different at different stages of life. But who do you have that you can talk to and glean wisdom from? Whether you're young, whether you're older, do you have someone that you're bouncing ideas off of that is a godly man or woman that will use God's word to help you? Cultivate those relationships. Three more that we'll just go through quickly. They're much shorter. Those four are the foundational words, and the last three are more outgrowths of those words. Number five, how we talk, or your speech. Your speech. How we talk exposes wisdom or foolishness. So many times, if you want to gain wisdom, we just need to be quiet. And we just need to shut our mouths. Because when we find ourselves talking, we're trying to give advice. We're trying to be wise. We're trying to put our advice on other people. And we just need to listen. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 17:28, a verse that I heard a lot growing up. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. There's some other verses there that you can look up. Our speech is part of our wisdom. Do we hold our tongue? Do we hear before being heard? Number six, the word is time. Time. You can't hurry wisdom. You can't apply these seven words and come out tomorrow morning as the wisest person in the church. Because wisdom happens over time. It happens over faithfulness to perseverance, and then that proven over a lifetime proves wisdom. That is why I cherish, and we as a church cherish, those of you that have been believers for so long. Because you have wisdom and insight from people that have been through the trials of life, that have been through the ringer, and have stood tall and said, God has been faithful. Trust Him. He has not let me down. We need those words. Time. This comes back to humility too. So many times we try to rush it. And we try to look wise. And the more we try to look wise, the more foolish we are. The last word in your notes is diligence. Diligence. Diligence leads to wisdom. Hard work. There is no shame in hard work. Proverbs 10 verse 5 says, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all that he has. Those last three are just outgrowths, practical ways that wisdom works itself out. But are we to be a people of wisdom? Are we to be a people that are so in awe of God that we grasp our need, that we grasp our smallness? And so in light of that smallness, we crave wisdom and we seek it with all of our heart. And then we are able to have advice and gain the experience of God's word, gain the experience of others. I challenge every family here this morning to do something this week. In the 7 days before next Sunday, I challenge you as a family to read the first 10 chapters of Proverbs, to borrow God's wisdom. To read the first, and maybe you have to do it in separate settings because your family's all over the place, I get that. But read the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. Even if you've read them 100 times, even if you read a chapter every month, a day of the month, but sit and read the first 10 chapters of Proverbs, because it's all about wisdom. It's all about gaining wisdom, seeking wisdom, craving wisdom. And just see what happens in your family as you come back to the source of true wisdom rather than all of our attempts. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, our Father, we seek your wisdom because you are so vast. Your knowledge is immeasurable. We cannot compare, and forgive us that we try. Forgive us that we elevate ourselves, that we are wise in our own eyes so many times. And may we be so impressed by our need that we draw close to you. Lord, thank you for being our God, for caring, for imparting your wisdom to us. We love and serve you. Your name, amen.